why we would support the Black Friars, just because the guy was good looking. Yeah, he's good looking. There's no reason. That doesn't mean Ishimori should be king.
He got the sword. His father knew. His father was like, yeah, you should be ruling the place. So
he could go model for them, but he doesn't be on the throne.
I feel bad for the...
You know what? This is such a typical Comic-Con experience. It's Kyle wrangling his way into industry parties, not bringing any of us, and Mean trying to ingratiate himself and invite famous men to dinner.
via Mimi?
Trying to do a weird bait and switch situation to meet his fantasy idols, and me falling asleep at 6 p.m. That is what's up. Typical Comic-Con life. You're listening to the podcast of Ice and Fire, episode 180 for the week of July 12th, 2015. Welcome back, listeners, to yet another episode of the podcast of Ice and Fire. We are the longest running podcast dedicated to George R. R. Martin's Song of Ice and Fire book series, as well as HBO's Game of Thrones.
There's a dire wolf in the background.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another podcast episode. Today we are talking about Comic-Con, so no chapter reread for this particular episode. We wanted to just do a quick little broadcast to go over our podcast weekend at San Diego Comic-Con 2015, which happened just this past weekend. So we're going to talk about our Comic-Con experience, and I believe we're going to have the audio recording of the official Song of Ice and Fire, a Game of Thrones panel that our podcast and Tara hosted at Comic-Con this year, for those of you guys who weren't able to attend. And for the second week in a row, this is Mimi.
This is Amin.
And this is Kyle.
And we've got Tara on for this episode as well. Tara, do you want to introduce yourself for listeners who are listening to this one for the first time, possibly?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Tara. I write for a website called The Geekiary, and I am a co-founder and co-organizer of Ice and Fire Con. And I was on, like you already said, on the panel at San Diego Comic-Con, which is why I'm here.
Tara is one of our good friends in the fandom, so she's been along for the ride for a lot of podcast episodes as well, right?
I've done a couple of them, not that many, but I mean, Amin and I have worked together at Ice and Fire Con on panels and stuff, and Ashley and I as well. So yeah, I mean, not so many podcasts, but I've definitely worked with you guys for a while.
It's probably more episodes than me still, though. but like I said, so Comic-Con this past weekend, it was what, July 8th to the 12th, and we're all still kind of recovering from that trip.
Yeah.
Sleep deprived.
You guys had to work probably this week. I had the week off, so I've been sleeping all week. It's been glorious.
Because you live like a minute away from
sleep. Yeah.
You just yeah.
What are you talking about? It's normally a 2.5 hour drive. It took me 4 hours to drive down there.
Amin came from, I don't know, Siberia or wherever he lives.
Nunavut, yeah, up here.
Yeah, I'm from the East Coast, so it was 15 and a half hours for me to get home on Monday.
Oh, yeah. My.
Yeah, flights and layovers and delays and everything.
Yeah, but you guys got nice planes where, like, pilots flew you. I had to drive myself. Come on.
Nice planes. I mean, I'm assuming no one flew Spirit, but...
No, I was... Southwest.
Oh, Southwest is great.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I mean, like I said, we were delayed a little bit, and we had some bad weather on my flight from Chicago back to South Carolina, but it could have been a lot worse. I got home only 2 hours late.
Next time, you guys, I am never getting on a plane like the day of Comic-Con. I'm going to arrange my flight like several days in advance, a week in advance or something, so I don't have to be on a plane full of people who are expressly going to Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Because didn't realize I was going, so I booked my ticket kind of last minute, and then I sit down between these two guys, and and they look at each other, they're talking, and I have to sit in a middle seat because God hates me. And one of the guys looks at me, and he goes, "Look at this poor girl, she has to sit in between these two geeks talking about Comic-Con." And I was like, yeah, sounds like a couple of dorks. Who goes to Comic-Con?
But Mimi, you didn't really go to Comic-Con. You went to San Diego and then left.
Okay, first of all, shut up. thanks for the press pass, San Diego Comic-Con, for anyone who's listening and responsible for organizing it. True. I actually did not attend the convention much this year. But I did go inside the convention hall one time to get my pass and the second time to talk at Amin for 15 minutes. So
yeah, we'll get to that story in a bit later. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we went and did our meetup, our podcast listener meetup on Wednesday night, which was really exciting because this is now an annual tradition for us, I guess. We've done it twice, so it will continue to be an ongoing tradition, I think. But we want to thank those of you guys who were following us on Facebook or Twitter and came out to our podcast meetup. I think we had a surprising number of people show up, right? It's like a...
Yeah, and I'm glad you all met each other because ended up getting there late, so I was worried if you're going to meet each other.
Oh, we just...
And you did. Mimi and I were supposed to be the late ones, and then Amin shows up an hour late.
Yeah. I think it's so awesome for everyone who came out. I just I was surprised that we have 15 listeners, and it was great to see them all at that table.
And I finally got to meet Tara at... Get together.
Yeah.
I was wondering how you found, like, how did you find each other?
I was sitting at a table and then she walked to that table as well. It was,
I think someone, to be honest, y'all, I've been drinking for like 6 hours at that point, maybe longer. So I think somebody maybe had told me, like, yeah, they're sitting in like a little nook behind the bar or something like that. So I knew somehow where to go. I'm pretty sure it's because somebody told me, but don't ask me how I knew that because I don't remember. We had our webcast and we were like drinking an hour before our webcast. So by the time I got to the Marriott, I was a mess. And what happened later was even like more messy. So
oh my.
It was a long night.
I showed up. I thought I was gonna be late. I was there on time, I guess. And we were able to get one of the longer tables. But I did remember Amin going like, yeah, you know, Tara should be there. Go look for her. And I was like, I don't know what she looks like. just walking around aimlessly for like 10 minutes. Like, does anybody recognize me? No? Okay. All right. I'm just going to go back.
Yeah. It was good though. We had some good chats at the end and it was building a tradition here.
Shout out to podcast listener Mike for coming out wearing a House Man Woody shirt. That was awesome.
Yeah. I love
it. Dude was cool.
Did he have that made? That's awesome.
It looked really cool. It was like black and gold or something.
Yeah, he had a black shirt. He had a skull with a gold crown. It was pretty badass. I think I put a picture up. Did I put it on the Facebook page?
I was hoping that was like a House Man Woody specific shirt and not just like I was drunk and maybe he was wearing like a Punisher shirt or something. And I was like, yeah, that's a podcast shout out.
No. I didn't even notice it until he was sitting down chatting for a while. And then finally we all stood up to go take a picture. And there it was. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome, man. Loved it. Very cool.
But it was great. And thank you to you guys for putting up with my really weird boyfriend. So...
He's the worst. Oh,
I just,
God.
At some point, I looked over and he was like, I haven't read those books. I have never actually read any book. And Tara's like, I hate this guy.
I think I was just like, it was just shock. And I was like, he's got to be joking. And like, I was just so drunk that it was like, I gotta get out of here.
You're like, who is this weird illiterate man that they put next to me? But it was great. Amin did show up late, and I told my boyfriend, I said, go find Amin, bring him to our table. And he was like, what does he look like? And then, lo and behold, he came back with you. So I was very impressed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did find me. I was looking around to find your table, and then he's like, hey.
But that was a lot of fun. And then we got to take a picture, which... I probably look disgusting in, but Carrie kindly took a photo of the whole group together, and so hopefully we'll be able to put that up on social media.
Well, nobody's seen that yet. Carrie hasn't published that one as of yet, right?
Yeah, she's probably having a hard time trying to Photoshop a Mane's face out of it or something. So
we just need to get a Man Woody skull and just put it on his face. It'll be perfect.
There we go. Wasn't there someone else from Canada at the meetup? Like, didn't you?
Yeah, that was Mike.
Name, though. That was Mike. Okay. Yeah, it was cool.
And then, do you guys want to talk about some other stuff y'all did at the convention? Because apparently... Yeah.
Well, we had the meetup, and then that was the last anyone saw of Mimi for the rest of the weekend.
That's not true at all. I went out. I went bar hopping in the gayborhood with Nick, who is one of my favorite podcast listeners. He's the best. He lives in San Diego. He came to the meetup last year, so this year he took us out to a bunch of different bars.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Hillcrest?
Yes.
Oh yes. God, I love Hillcrest. Yeah, Hillcrest is great.
That's where we stayed. And I don't know if y'all would believe it or not, but my boyfriend is very popular in that neighborhood.
I heard he likes to eat the hot dog.
Standing in a crosswalk eating hot dogs. he was just offered a free haircut by a very handsome older gentleman who saw him and decided he needed a trim. So... we got him into a salon at Hillcrest, and he got a free haircut. That is a great neighborhood. Everyone's so nice there.
When did you pick up your press passes? Because I made the big mistake of going too late.
I learned from your mistake. Yeah. I went the next day on Thursday, and I remember telling Ian, I was like, no, Amin said it's a clusterfuck. You had to wait so long for the press pass. And we got up to the convention hall, and Ian's like, how long should I wait out here for you? And I was like, I don't know, an hour? And then I just walked in, and they were like, industry? And I said, yes. And they were like, here you go. And they just gave me my pass, and I turned right back around.
What time did you go?
I went too close to the actual opening. So if you go like 2 or 3 o'clock or whatever, it's fine. But if you go close to, when was the 6 o'clock? I was there even at 5:35.
Oh, okay,
and it was just, like,
yeah.
This massive line.
Because I went, they actually opened it early this year. It was like 1:30 or something. It was way earlier than they were supposed to because we heard from other people we knew that they were open. And we were like, let's go. Let's get this over with.
Yeah. No, but there was a line that's supposed to be press and professional only, and there was like, it seemed like everyone and their grandma was in that line. There was like babies walking around. Like, how the hell are these people press?
A lot of professionals have family, I mean. Come on.
Yeah, so that's a guess as well, come under that.
Yeah.
But I was like, why are these babies in line? Like,
I think I went around like 4:30 or so, and I was in line for about 15 minutes or so, but I think the employees there helped me cut the line, which was very strange.
Why do you take your baby in a stroller into the exhibitor hall? Like, all you do is just create traffic. Like,
because when you have kids, I mean, sometimes you can't leave them elsewhere.
Oh, you have a daycare there. There's a daycare on site.
I don't think you're technically like allowed to leave them in a car by themselves or anything.
I think you're not supposed to take they have like stroller parking. You can't take the strollers into the panels, but I guess you can take them into the exhibitor hall.
I saw people with strollers too, and it's very... cumbersome with all those crowds.
I could get crushed by the people walking.
This isn't Disney World, people.
Is it any worse than people with those little big ass fairy wings and stuff taking up a lot of floor space? I mean,
well, it's part of the environment, like of cosplaying, at least it has a purpose.
Yeah, these wings have a purpose.
Unless your baby is part of your cosplay. If your baby is part of your cosplay, then it's okay.
So if you have a child, you have to cosplay, otherwise leave it at home.
I mean, I'm kind of with a meme, but I don't like kids, so I'm like the last person you want to ask about these things.
Well, Kyle's got quite a few kids. So
I have a lot of kids, and I don't know. Yeah, I just mentally I'll use my force powers and I have them float around the exhibit hall. So the next morning I went to the Game of Thrones exhibit.
Cool.
Oh, you got in.
Mimi.
I haven't gotten there either year.
Either? What, have you only been a couple?
I've only been last year and this year, yeah.
I waited in line way too long because I made the mistake of telling a friend that I would wait with him. And I was in line for about 4.5 hours.
Jesus.
But then in the hall, I got a gif of me getting burnt by a dragon.
You waited 4 hours for that thing? I saw it.
Yes.
he got other things.
I had the same reaction. I waited 4.5 hours for this shit. They took pictures of me and gave me eyeliner and blue eyes so I looked like an other. I know. Calm down, people. It's very exciting.
I could have given you eyeliner.
I posted them on the podcast page, and I think one of our listeners thought that I had actually put on eyeliner.
Yeah. I spent 4 hours making myself up like Chris Angel so that I can
And then they have this stage, and it was the same damn thing I did at South by Southwest, where they take a picture of like a profile of your face, and then you get up on a stage and they project your silhouette of the profile of your head up on a screen in front of you, and you pick up a wooden sword and you hit these like digital balls that are on the screen, and they shatter and spread thorns or antlers or feathers or whatnot across your silhouette, and it fills in your face, and you sort of like paint a picture of your face digitally like that, which is kind of a cool thing, but I had already done it at South by Southwest, so I was like, oof, blee. And they had the Iron Throne there, and they had a bunch of props and stuff like that, and they had the mountain sword, which was huge. And yeah, so that was the exhibit. Mm-hmm.
Did you need a Comic-Con badge to get in there, or anyone could get
I'm pretty sure anyone could get in there. They had a line, like, badge holders and not badge holders, but they weren't separating anyone, so I don't think it really...
But what is even the point of, getting a Comic-Con pass and stuff when all of the marketing and, like, available to anybody, you know?
Comic-Con used to be the exhibition hall.
Mm.
And so that's what the con was, that, and you go, and you can't go into any of the panels and stuff. People couldn't get into our panel without a Comic-Con badge. I had friends that wanted to come, and they didn't have a badge for Saturday, so they couldn't make it.
Yeah, I saw a couple people try to walk in without badges, and the guy was like, nope, sorry.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that's what it used to be, and then it blew up, and they took over the gas lamp, and they did all these things, and you don't need a badge, like Nerd HQ and things like that, so,
yeah. Yeah, now anybody can go stand in line for 6 hours to do an Assassin's Creed obstacle course.
Exactly.
Is that how long the line was for that thing?
I don't know, but I did walk past it listening to these announcers go like, yeah, way to go, you look just like an assassin. I was like, no, he doesn't. He looks like a fool doing an obstacle course. This has nothing to do with Assassin's Creed.
Wow, Mimi, no fun in your life.
No, I'm bitter and old and weird. I think I'm too cynical for Comic-Con.
Oh, no, also, I'm totally in the same boat about Comic-Con.
I enjoy seeing the podcast people. I feel like this is like my one chance to get together with a bunch of really cool people. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad to know that I'm not the only person who, you know, is into nerd shit, but like not like particularly enthused with the crowds and the ridiculousness of that convention. But I don't know. It's an experience. So
exactly. Quite an experience. So what else did you guys do before our panel on Saturday?
I made my boyfriend get his eyebrows dyed against his will.
He was just in the salon the whole damn weekend, wasn't he?
Yeah. Went to like all press stuff. My Comic-Con was like extremely boring this year.
Hmm. Interesting. So I guess we didn't do anything. So let's go to the panel.
Yeah. Well, let me say something. Comic-Con doesn't have a lot of manga or anime panels, but the ones that it does have are good. So I went to those.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of specializes in those, so it gets big people over. And then I met Louis Royeau, who did the artwork for the Ice Dragon. But I've been a big fan of his for a long time.
Yeah, you were jazzed. You sent me, like, 20 text messages.
Yeah, I went to his spotlight panel, which was pretty good. And I asked him, I was like, so why do you always seem to, like, portray the feminine form? That seems to be your thing. And he gave, like, a massive answer. And he had a translator, right? He was speaking Spanish.
He translated that. I like titties.
Yeah, basically, but like, 10 minutes of that discussion. But he said something. He was talking about, like, how, for him anyways, he's able to both show strength and delicateness in the same character. It's easier to do it when he draws it. Like, this, and it was all the stuff. He just kept talking and talking. And like, kind of like, he kind of felt like I understood. I'm like, I don't understand. You have to wait for the translator to
because he had a translator, right? So, okay.
Yeah. And then, so I also went to the signing as well. I didn't know that he was going to be there before I went there. I would have taken the Ice Dragon. So I didn't get that signed, but I got a couple of nice books like that were on sale there, and I got them signed. And then I had the idea. I was like, well, last year we had dinner with George. So let's continue this trend of trying to have dinner with famous people.
Is he famous?
So I was like, I wanted to... Pardon?
Is he famous, though?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In Europe, he's famous. And here as well.
To him.
Like in that... Yeah.
Well, certainly.
He's a good artist. I showed Tara his work, right? His work. Mm-hmm. He is the master of the feminine form and drawing mythical beasts. That's why I thought the Ice Dragon was half good and half wasted of his talents, because he drew the dragon well, but he doesn't draw little girls because he draws adult women. So that's a waste for
him. He should have made that way more sexual.
Well, he should do any other George work.
Yeah.
Like, that would be better, right?
Sure.
So,
well, his art is really beautiful. He does a lot of stuff for heavy metal, right?
Yeah, he has one of the books I have here is heavy metal, and he was at the signing. He was actually sketching like little sketches and not just signing. So I got a few sketches.
Yeah, he drew some in your books, well. Right?
Yeah, which is really nice. So the idea was like, well, since we kind of have like dinner on Saturday anyways, a farewell dinner, let's invite him. So, but then I was like, well, I want to try to get Mimi to help me fight him. So I'm not just this loser who shows up twice, like 2 days in a row, and be like, hey, come join us for dinner. Oh, I needed some girl cred with me.
He could have gotten girl cred from anybody else. I should have sent Ian his shorts and his dyed eyebrows. Like,
well, I checked with Tara as well. I would have taken Tara there as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing, but yeah.
I actually, because he had the translator, I didn't want to spend too long inviting him. I give like a formal invitation letter to him, and then he didn't come. But
it wasn't an invitation letter. It was just a picture of my breasts. That's what he gave.
he didn't come that night. We weren't like, I didn't really expect it, but he actually emailed me the next day and he said like, thanks so much for the invite. And he included your guys' names as well. And he was like, I actually came there. We came there late. We couldn't find you, but hopefully next time we'll. So that, I think that was really nice of him to send an email out to us. He didn't have to do that. Sorry.
Hey, this is also two years in a row that somebody said they tried to find us and couldn't in that maze of a restaurant.
Yeah.
We should probably pick another restaurant.
Oh gosh, who did it last year?
It was a listener.
Oh, okay. Last year.
Can you imagine if it were George and we just missed each other because
I thought, right?
Of the restaurant?
Yeah. Thankfully we were looking for him when he called us, and then he was right in the middle.
Luckily we know what he looks like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because I sat through two of them before I went to the Hyperbole and a Half panel.
Oh, I was supposed to go to that.
It was so good. It was so good. I actually spent about 3.5 hours transcribing it today. So
that's awesome. I went and I had lunch with Matt, the oatmeal, and then he was like, hey, I'm going to Ali Brosh's panel after this. You want to come? And I was like, well, no, eyebrows, you know, that's my priority.
You're like, hey, I have to go in the convention hall? No, I'm...
No, I should have, but, you know, again, that was, you know, my trip was primarily vacation time. But I thought that would have been cool.
Yeah, it was a really good panel.
What's the premise of that panel?
Well, you don't know what Hyperbole and a Half is?
No.
Apparently Kyle means
the
web.
Oh my word. You've never seen it's like the really simple drawing of it's from Microsoft Paint, I think. It's like a head with a weird yellow ponytail and it's like a pink dress and it says do all the things.
I know our Microsoft Paint work.
You're killing me.
Yeah, I have used a Microsoft.
It's a blog, and it's a very it's just this girl who it started out as kind of like a humor like cartoon. Basically, she was drawing these cartoons of the crazy things that happened in her life, and then she didn't post for like a year and a half. And when she came back, she had these really really awesome posts about dealing with depression, and then she wrote a book. So like her book is actually, it's like half stuff from her blog and half new material. And apparently she's actually publishing another book in October. So that's why she had a panel at Comic-Con. But I mean, really, her website's hyperboleandahalf.com and it's hilarious. So I definitely suggest checking it out.
All right.
So the panel was her talking about herself and her blog and promoting her new book. But she's just a really funny girl. Felicia Day moderated it. It was a really enjoyable time.
Oh, I danced with Felicia Day this past
week. I heard.
Oh, yeah. I got my groove on.
Which party was this?
Nerd HQ. On Friday night.
You still haven't got us into any of these parties.
Dude, I was somebody's plus one, so...
Well, they need a plus two.
Yes, okay.
You know what? This is such a typical Comic-Con experience. It's Kyle wrangling his way into industry parties, not bringing any of us. And
I couldn't even find you all weekend, all right?
Amin trying to ingratiate himself and invite famous men to dinner.
via Mimi?
Trying to do a weird bait and switch situation to meet his fantasy idols, and me falling asleep at 6 p.m. That is what's up. Typical Comic-Con life.
Yeah.
So you guys, y'all did a panel at Comic-Con. Every year the podcast gets more legit.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Yeah, I was so nervous for this panel, and I think it went awesome. I'm so happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, I could kind of tell actually, because I was just chilling beforehand, and I kind of want to talk to you, and you kind of like, I guess, were like building yourself up mentally for it or something. You're like, then this
when was this? When you were sitting watching the Lost panel before?
Yeah, it was just right before when you got in there. You just kind of were sitting there, and you kind of had you were just out of, you weren't communicative. You were just kind of trying to build yourself. At least that's the way I read it.
Was he praying? To which of the seven gods, you think?
No, I just really had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and you did, and we were like, where the hell is he? Tara and I sat there, we're like, is Kyle gone? Did he run away?
It was literally 2 minutes. I don't even think it was that long. A minute, maybe.
No, it was. There was 5 minutes left in the Lost panel, and I was like, all right, I go to the bathroom.
But you guys, exactly how many minutes was Kyle in the bathroom? Break it down for all of everyone.
Well, I thought you left after the Lost panel ended. So
just left.
You went to chat with those podcasters.
I just laughed. I'm like, I can't take it. I'm done.
You really had to
do a Lost panel.
That's what I said.
I think there's the final Lost panel. They were kind of what's left after Lost of the final mysteries.
Didn't that show end 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said the same thing. How is this still? I mean, they were talking about theories and everything, and I was like, why?
But I bet they're still having Firefly panels, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. I caught the last few scenes of Serenity today, and I was weeping like a little. So, yeah, the panel was awesome. Good time.
Yeah, it was.
We had about, 80 people in the audience.
Which I think was really good for that location, because it was not, it was not in the Comic-Con hall. I honestly think if it had been in the convention building, we would have packed out a room easily.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, there's 450 people who click on it online. Not all of those will come, obviously, but if it's in the center, more of them will come than to walk all the way over there.
Yeah, yeah.
About 80 people.
I think there was about 100. That's the way I counted it. But
well, if you want to not look at my picture and count them like I did, you can see 100. I
trust my observation skills over
might
your
have
picture.
Laughed before I...
Yeah, you took that photo. That was near the end of it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Because we were so awful. But
there's people in the washroom. People went to the washroom.
There were only three people that left early.
Yeah. It was funny during the Lost panel when Game of Thrones cosplayers started showing up. I was like, yeah, they're not lost.
Oh, you guys are probably relieved that I'm not on the panel because if I see people walking out in the middle of it, I would have just been like, y'all bored? You got something else to do? Just heckling. Everyone has to be there, but it was, so you guys had a good time. Did they ask you questions? Was it moderated or?
No, we did not have a moderator. So it was just three of us. Yeah.
We didn't request them. I mean, we could have got them. We know each other. It's fine. If you put six people who don't know each other on the panel, they need a moderator.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But we just kind of started shooting the shit. It was as if we were recording a podcast. We were just talking about stuff and different theories and things, and then eventually we opened it up for questions, and they started asking us some stuff, and it was good. It was a good time. Now, Tara, you've done panels before, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I've lost count at this point. But to be honest, this was Comic-Con. This is a much bigger deal. I'd say the next biggest thing I've done is the Game of Thrones show panels at DragonCon, which I've done the past 3 years. So,
You haven't done a panel at Comic-Con?
No, not at San Diego. Last year was my first year even going. So,
okay.
But I hope to do it again. That was fun.
How did it measure up compared to other panels or at other places and stuff?
Well, to be fair, most other panels that I've done have been focused on the show, so they were actually more difficult because then you get people in the audience who want to talk about the books and you have to kind of police them a lot more. So this was just a lot more laid back, I felt like, and honestly way less argumentative than a lot of panels I've done.
Yeah.
Ice and FireCon, our panels aren't really panels. They're round tables because it's such a small convention. So it's more of a discussion amidst, 20 to 50 fans, depending on what the subject of the panel is, versus, like I said, Dragon Con, they have to be policed more. And I think this was kind of a mix between the two, really.
Very cool.
But I enjoyed it.
What about
in terms of,
I was going to say, what about you, Amin? This is your
Yeah, because
first Comic-Con panel.
My first Comic-Con one, yeah, but I've done with some the small ones at Ice and Fire Con with Tara. And in terms of numbers, I actually did a Game of Thrones one at Anime North that had like 200 people there. So this wasn't high in the numbers, but this is Comic-Con in terms of the Comic-Con prestige.
Yeah.
And also, you and Tara were on the panel. Like, we're all serious about the books, and we're able to talk at a higher level, and the audience seemed to be at a pretty high level as well. So I think the quality of conversation was pretty good for a panel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. That was I kind of said it at the beginning of the panel, but Comic-Con doesn't have, besides the main Game of Thrones thing, they don't really have much Game of Thrones stuff, and they don't have, like, any Song of Ice and Fire panels.
No.
That's why I applied for it. I was like, well, there's no harm in applying for it, but because it's almost every other convention has even a form that you apply with. This one I had to go digging and ask them and work really hard even to get the application form.
Well, thank you for doing it, Amin.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did it and didn't expect to get it, and we got it, and it was great.
So, and you think they're going to want us back, right?
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking as long as we don't mess up, they'll want us back, and I thought we did a good job.
And we can get in the convention center.
Yeah, I'm going to request that next year, specifically to put us there.
Can work our way up.
Nice. Well, part of the reason why they put us there was because they kind of viewed it related to the podcast, and that day and that location was podcasts. If you look at the schedule, all the podcast ones were there. So if we say, hey, you don't really have to label us under podcasts, you can just put us as Ice and Fire, then I think we can get into the main hall.
Well, I actually scoped out the area earlier in the day, and I walked in on one of the earlier panels, and there were 5 people in the audience, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because they have to be committed to go there, right? It's far away. It's a beautiful location. It's great. It's just far away.
Yeah.
Like, you have to walk over there, and getting around takes a while. So.
Yeah, my friend who's been on the podcast, Kristen Nedepak, she came over, and she was like, wow, where this is, like, the actual room is really nice and much nicer than most of the rooms in the convention center, but it's just... You know, it's a little ways away.
So I guess you guys have the audio recording of it, right?
Yep, which we're going to place at the end of this episode. But we actually had an after party as well.
Oh.
Right after the thing.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. I think I wasn't invited to.
I know. Mimi was not there again. Yeah.
apparently the one downside, like if you go on vacation, you decide to eat 6 meals a day. You will fall asleep really early, you know, on account of all the food you've been eating like a hog. So that was my fate. So I guess I missed your after party.
It was just more just drinks afterwards.
Yeah.
But like people came out, like who was actually, there was a British guy that was in the audience and he came out as well.
Yeah.
He had good questions, and Morning Man Woody from the forums was there too.
Yeah, we had a handful of people. It was nice. It was nice afterwards. Yeah.
There's 2 lessons I got from the panel that we should learn for next year. One is that we should just repeat questions because not everyone hears it, and especially for the audio record, you won't hear the questions very well. Yeah. And the other is just like, let's actually set where we're going for the drinks, because we lost people that were like, would have come, but like they didn't want to wait for us to like figure out where we're going and they left. If we had actually set when and where, I think they would have come.
Yeah.
Where'd y'all go? Was it the tequila bar again?
No. No.
We went to the strip club.
We were trying to find some place that was like nearby, and it was just, there was really nothing that close to the library. Like everything was like not super far, but 4 or 5 blocks away. And I'm looking on my phone, I'm trying to like look at this map, and people are asking me questions as I'm trying to look, and I'm like, oh, I can't right now. I'm not drunk enough for this. I'm joking. I wasn't drunk at all. Totally sober.
That's no way to operate through Comic Con.
But Mimi and I did meet up that morning or the morning before? I think it was that morning, yeah. And we went through the hall and kind of chatted, and we took a photo in that photo booth thing.
Oh, yeah. Don't release that photo. It looked disgusting. Yeah.
Which photo booth thing? There's like a million of them. Which one?
Oh, yeah. There was one.
The Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Oh. Dark Horse?
Yeah.
It was good. It was just like a very brief amount of time, FaceTime with Amin, and I got like none with Kyle.
I know. I thought we were all getting together like after the panel.
And that's what I thought.
Yeah. And then I messaged you, and then I get a text the next morning going, oh, I fell asleep.
Because we did.
You gotta lay down some solid plans, man.
No, Comic-Con, you can't do solid plans. It doesn't happen.
If you're trying to get into some long-ass lines all day.
Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Comic-Con's a go-with-the-flow kind of thing, man.
Well, my flow involved just, like, a lot of sleeping, I guess. So. But it was great getting some time away from work, going on vacation, getting to see all of you guys, getting to meet Tara. Shout out to our podcast listeners, Ray, who was very, very kind and and let this scrub Amin stay with him. So that was really super nice.
Ray and his wife were really nice, great people, and
Ray
had a good time.
Awesome people.
Ray was the one that was at Ice and Fire Con, right?
Yes.
He
had the He-Man Greyjoy shirt on at the meetup.
He got a lot of stuff. Like he got his sign by the cast.
That's pretty.
He had this big poster thing. Yeah, Alfie Allen was really excited. He has this whole story with like his shoe and Alfie Allen. So.
But yeah, shout out to Nick and his buddy Mike or whoever who took us bar hopping. That was awesome. Michal was there. Jen Rose, Carrie.
Yeah.
Remember everyone's name. That dude Mike we've now talked about like 10 times on this podcast episode.
My buddy's David, who's been a listener since the beginning, and Mike came as well.
And then Tara's drunk friends.
Oh, yeah. That would be the girls from the Geekiary. Actually, Yvonne was at our panel as well. And Stephanie and Aaron and maybe Carly, I think they were all there. But
Can we mention Brian as well, or we can't?
Oh yeah, we can mention Brian. So he came as my plus one, but he didn't get there till late Thursday night. So he helped at the panel. He passed out bookmarks.
Yeah, he did, and he asked questions. Yeah.
Yes, he did. He did.
Yeah, and they were good. Yeah, we had our bookmarks out there. Oh, so people love collectible.
Amin promised that bookmark's job to Ian. Uh-oh. I see how it is.
And then who didn't show up at the panel? Ian. Okay.
Yeah, Ian didn't show up, so.
Oh, so it's a good thing.
No, he didn't have a pass, so he wouldn't be able to get in anyways.
Well, yeah, and he wasn't allowed to be in public after his eyebrow situation. So.
Oh, no!
But I said, like, I guess you could go back to the convention hall and tell everybody you're cosplaying as Eugene Levy, because
What, they make his eyebrows grow?
They did them really dark.
Oh,
poor guy.
Just one final thing, as I guess we're running out of time, is we did actually have a bit of a final dinner, though, the one that Lewis was invited to, where everyone kind of stopped by.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, oh my God, Kyle, you're so bitter about this.
I am. God damn it! I wanted to hang out with you, and then you ditched me this year. I see.
You had many chances. Yeah. I offered up bowls of ramen every day, man.
Well, I mean, Mimi doesn't like the tequila bar there, and I mean, it's fine enough. The food isn't that great there.
No, I like it. Fine. I don't have a problem with it. I just love that it's become our bar.
Well, it's because we've had two meetups there. We met with Jorge there too, right? Yep. So that's our special place.
But I think that about wraps up this episode. It was just a quick recap of our Comic Con adventures, which I guess were a little less exciting than last year when we couldn't wait to talk about meeting George, but I still think I'm so proud of you guys for doing the panel. It sounds like it was a really good experience, and hopefully some people who had never heard of the podcast will be listening to us because of the panel, and hopefully not this episode.
It's still nice to go, and I still post on our Facebook page and everything I can find about Game of Thrones, and if only our press pass got us into the panel, I'd have something to say on that too, but it doesn't, so... I cover it as much as I can for our fans. So,
my hero.
To be honest, since we did that first panel, we're going to do it again. Now I want to do like other panels. I'm looking at, like, what else can I bring to the table? Can I do like a podcast panel with other people who do podcasts?
I think,
for example, like what?
I think Mimi's already on the Firefly panel for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you find out about any that I can be on, you know, ramen related or whatever. Sign me up. But anyway, so we'll go ahead and put the audio recording at the end so everybody can hear what they missed out on at Comic-Con. And I think that about wraps it up for this episode.
How can our listeners find Tara?
I can be found on the Geekiary under the pseudonym Tara Lynn. You can also find Ice and Fire Con at iceandfirecon.com. We aren't selling tickets for next year yet, but we do have our new location and everything set up. So that will actually probably happen within the next month.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm going to make it to one of those. Every time I hear about how fun Ice and Fire Con is, I'm like, fuck, why didn't I go? Yeah.
This could be the year. It'll be bigger.
Just have ramen and she will come.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, have ramen right there.
I'll see what I can do about
I would
that.
Go to ramen with you guys, but it's so far away. I don't have a car there. I don't want to, like, get around that city.
So. Yeah, the public transportation in San Diego isn't exactly...
Next time, get ramen takeout and bring it over to the Comic-Con.
Guys, I got a Car to Go membership for free at Comic-Con, so I can drive my ass anywhere around there for pennies on the mile.
He's got it.
Boom.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on this episode and meeting up with us and being part of the panel. Tara, it was awesome meeting you.
Yeah.
And for listeners, you can find us in the usual places: Facebook, Twitter, Podcast Device and Fire. Do we have an Instagram? We should probably have an Instagram.
I think I grabbed it, but have not done anything with it. Because Instagram doesn't handle multiple accounts. You have to sign out and sign back in. That's that bullshit.
Mm. Yeah. So don't find us on Instagram, but do find
Deviant
us on
Art, though.
Yeah. Deviant, that is so weird. I don't know why we have to
do that's where we have our MS Paint project.
But, you know, when Luis Royo becomes our biggest fan, you know, and he starts doing podcast portraits, we'll need that Deviant
Art. Yeah. Oh, I might actually invite him to an interview later. Not right away. I don't want to bother him now, but later this year, maybe.
Yeah, our Spanish is really good collectively, so...
Yeah. Well, Kyle can translate, right? So.
Honesta.
Kyle can just be like titties in Spanish or something.
El titties.
And with El titties, I think we'll call it a night. Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.
Yes. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks for being here. This is exciting. Everybody I paid to be here, your checks will be in the mail. Thank you very much. This is exciting. This is a fun thing. I know personally myself, Comic-Con's a little strange with Game of Thrones because the season just ended and there's the panel and there's not much else to kind of go to and talk about the show and specifically... or especially, there's nothing to talk about the books. And we were hoping to provide you with that, a place where we can just chat about the books and chat about the show and the differences and probably get a little heated about some things. So hopefully that happens, because that always makes for a fun conversation, right? So without further ado, let me introduce the folks on our panel. Here to my left, I have Tara Lynn, writer at The Geekery. And are you... what's the correct title? Are you the founder, the co-founder of Ice and Fire Con?
I am co-founder and current organizer, yeah. So, but there's three of us that put Ice and Fire Con together, and I'm only one of us.
Very nice. And to the left over here, I have the international man of mystery, Amin, of a podcast of Ice and Fire and Bastards of Kingsgrave.
Great to be here.
Yeah, there we go. Amin and I are on a podcast of Ice and Fire together. I don't know if anybody is a listener here, but we are the longest-running podcast dedicated to the book series. We've been chatting about this stuff for a while. Here we are. I'm Kyle Maddock, and I'm not quite your MC because Chris Hardwick couldn't make it today. We tried. It was hard. And George didn't want to stop writing the book because you would all murder him. So we couldn't make it out either. But I think we'll just get into it. Let's just chat about this stuff. I think we're going to do some fan theories, and we're going to talk about different things. And then hopefully you guys have lots of questions, and we can talk with you about different things. So let's do that. And I guess we should kick off with some obvious stuff, with Season 5. And is Jon Snow, is he dead?
No, of course not. I think someone I know put it this way. Jon Snow is dead, but... Jon Targaryen is not. I don't know how much I agree with that because, you know, that actually makes him not a bastard. And, I mean, no matter what, he still is. So, but, I mean, I think that's probably the easiest way to put it.
Okay. Yeah, he's dead now, but he's coming back. He's not staying dead. And they're just being coy in the show. Like, he's coming back for sure.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, that's what I think. When most people say, no, Jon Snow's definitely not dead. I kind of disagree. And I'm like, he's the one character that actually is dead. But then he's coming back. Unlike if Stannis is dead, which we'll debate in a second here, he probably won't come back if he's dead. But so, but how is he going to come back? I think this is the big question we all have. Is Melisandre just going to resurrect him? Is he going to warg? What's the deal? What do you guys think?
I think in the books he might go into ghost temporarily and come back, but maybe with Melisandre. I don't know if they'll do that in the show, but they specifically showed her there showing up the wall in time to be in the right place for it.
Yeah, it was very heavy-handed. Melisandre's back? Oh, okay, let's kill him now. Real quick.
Yeah, done. He's off. But do you... I heard this theory, this crazy thing, where he's going to ward into Ghost in his final moments, and then Ghost is going to make it to Stannis, and then he's going to... Jon Snow's persona is going to go into Stannis. So all of Melisandre's fire visions of Stannis, like being the prince that was promised, being Azor Ahai, is actually Jon Snow in Stannis' body, so it all kinds of makes sense in this weird, crazy way. I don't think that's going to happen, but I've heard that theory.
See, this is the problem with it taking so long between books. Like, I totally respect George Martin and how long it takes him to write these, because I sure as hell couldn't do it. But that's the problem with there being such a long period of time, is that people come up with these ridiculous things.
That's amazing. That's great about the wait, is that we get these crazy theories. And I think that, I mean, that's why we started podcasting.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
That was it.
We were waiting for that damn book to come out, and we were like, we got to talk about this.
So, yeah, I think we've coined a few of our own theories as well, even during the years. So.
We have. Yeah. So there's another theory about Jon Snow, that he will turn into another, or he'll turn into a white, and he will become the villain of the series, in a way, where he'll be, Daenerys will come over and she'll be the good, and Jon Snow will be the other. He'll be the ice of the story, and there'll be this epic battle between Jon Snow and Daenerys.
I don't even know what to say about that. I think anything is possible with this series. But I think that, I mean, Martin, obviously, he has a plan. Eventually we'll know what it is.
You sound like a Cylon. He has a plan. He just makes it up.
Oh, I'm a Cylon. You didn't know? I don't know about him being a bad guy, though.
No, did you see the close-up? Did you see the people who, like, freeze-frame the final moment of season 5, where everybody thought his eyes changed? They were trying to figure it out, and they were changing the color scheme of the photo to see if it really... If Kit Harington's eyes were that color to begin with.
I must have missed that. To be honest, I was not taken with this season.
Yeah, what did you think? What did you think about the season? And are we getting spoiled as book readers? Is it spoiling it, or are they sort of doing their own thing? How do you feel? How do you feel about it?
I feel like we're getting semi-spoilers, like with Stannis' fate, potentially, or with Shireen, but we won't know until George puts it out there, and we won't be able to fully judge Stannis as a character until we see what he does in the books.
Do you think Shireen is going to die in the books?
I think it's quite possible she may die. Will she burn? Will Stannis be directly involved? We'll have to see. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, like, I do think Shireen will probably die in the books, but... not my Stannis.
So hard.
Yeah, I think, like, David and Dan are free to do their own interpretation of Stannis. It's their show. Mm-hmm. They can do it. But when they said that he chose ambition over family, I didn't see that as Stannis. Stannis is, like, duty to the realm, not personal ambition. Mm. So that's why they didn't like the Stannis in the show, and I'm glad that he's dead. I think he's dead. So.
Oh, no, actually, I think they said something about it possibly yesterday. Somebody asked, and one of the directors or somebody said that, oh yeah, you know, I thought there was enough violence in that episode, so I didn't, you know, think I really needed to show Stannis's, you know, death. I mean, I'm not really sure, like, I don't know if I think that was the best decision. I think that, like, unfortunately people, you know, especially anybody who's read the books, it's like, if you don't actually, like, see it happen on the page, it's, like, hard to believe that a character's actually gone, and I think that's carried over to the show a little bit too.
I'm just curious, am I the only book Stannis fan here, or are there other Stannis fans?
Oh, no, no, I like book Stannis.
In the audience.
One man in the back raises his hand. Yeah. I don't know, I didn't like, I didn't really get Stannis in the book, I guess, and I kind of grew more to like him in the show in a weird way, and then he burnt his daughter, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I didn't like him the first time I read it, but on, like, subsequent rereads, I liked him, like, a little bit more, and then in the show, I did like him, you know, I actually felt a lot even more positive toward him because of the show, And then Shireen happened, and I was so angry. I was trying to pause my television because I, like, didn't want to watch it. So I'm, like, slamming my finger down on the pause button. It's not pausing. When I finally got it to pause, I threw the remote across the room and stomped out of the living room. Like, I was so angry.
But that's been, I mean, we all threw, how many of us threw the books while we were reading them? There you go. The Red Wedding came and hucked that thing across the room. Oh, man. So I guess the show is getting us in those throwing fits, flipping tables and different things. So you think he's dead?
I think they're done with him in the show. He's lost his army, he's lost his wife, he's lost his daughter. There's no point in keeping him around.
But what was the point of going up there?
Well, that matched the books, and I feel they just wanted to speed it up and get him out of the way. Like, he may ultimately, he's not going to be on the throne in the end. He's going to lose in some way, but I think they accelerated it.
Yeah. Well, and also it got Melisandre up there, too.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, what's the chance of her having done that of her own accord if he hadn't been around on the show, I guess?
It just seems like so much. It seems so much for a character to just, to have this huge arc where he saves the day and all this army stuff and just to bring one woman up to the north. It just seems so crazy that they would just end his story, that he had nothing else to do. I don't know. I got to believe, although you just told me from the panel that they didn't want to show his death. I don't know. I want to believe he's alive. I guess I'm still like him, that daughter burner. Damn him.
But you can't even talk about it because he just did it for the Game of Thrones. Like, the question is, if he actually was Azor Ahai and he's doing it to save the world, you might even have a discussion there. You might still say it's not justifiable, but they didn't even get to that. They just said, let's have some better weather here to win this battle.
Yeah, they need him to die so when Jon Snow warps into his body at all.
So the one thing, like, that... The other thing I'm confused about, what in the world is going on, like, in King's Landing on the show? Because they followed, like, Cersei's storyline so directly with her walk of penance and everything. But then, like, the Tyrells are nowhere to be found. I mean, where did Loras and Margaery go? They're just still chilling in jail.
You know? They're just stuck in there. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I like the Queen of Thorns, but just somebody was just getting their day against her, and she just disappeared. So I wanted her to show up with an army.
With the Tyrells?
Yeah. With their forces.
And start a war in King's Landing.
I mean, clearly Loras isn't going to go storm Dragonstone in the show at this point,
nope,
I don't
not
think.
So, much.
So it's interesting that they've had him off screen for so long and we don't know anything about where he is or what he's doing at all.
Do you think in the books he is scarred up and burnt to a crisp? Is that a lie? Is that the truth? The spoiler warning, by the way, if no one's read the books. Loras is supposedly pretty messed up right now in the books and not in jail. So, what do you think? Is he hurt?
I think he may be hurt, but not as badly as they say. It's a good excuse to get him out of the way. He may still be scarred or injured, but not on the brink of death.
Okay.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, he could be horribly scarred, but as long as he's not, like, dying or dead, I don't think that... I don't know. I don't want to say I don't think that he would be killed off at this point, but he has kind of served his purpose. But it just feels like, why would they even talk about him at all if he was that close to death? He could just be dead, and it really wouldn't make that big of a difference. Like, he's probably not going to go off and get married and have kids, like, in Westeros. So, but I mean, again, like, it having the show kind of, like, just to push him off to the side the way they did makes me wonder, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we're getting this, are we being spoiled? Is it saying these characters aren't important if the show decides to cut somebody's story short or cut Shireen's story short or throw Loras in jail? Are we actually being spoiled in the books to say that these characters are not going to be important later on? Or...
I mean,
how do you feel about that? Do you get pissed watching the show? You're like, God damn it, I don't want to know this.
At times I do, yeah. You?
I'm not so worried about characters they cut because they have to do a lot. It's just the big deaths that haven't happened yet that will ultimately happen. Those are I'm worried about.
Yeah, there's been a lot of characters that we, you know, have not seen in the show, or if they've appeared at all, like Lawless Stokeworth was like, you know, 2 seconds, she's there, I'll be shocked if she's gonna come back. You know, it was cool. It was cool seeing a character named Lawless that was actually supposed to marry Bronn for like a second.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Bronn was destined for a sand snake.
Yeah, so. Clearly.
Discovered.
That was the romance of the season, basically.
The characters that they cut completely is one thing. But yeah, the like Stannis's death and Barristan. I mean, I guess Barristan is.
old?
Probably going to die in the battle for Meereen, or if not there, then when they get over to Westeros. You know, I doubt he would make it to the end of the series, but it was sad seeing him go.
Yeah. Oh, old guy. So we have, you mentioned the Battle of Meereen, and we don't have the Greyjoys very much in the show.
Yet.
It's at yet. But we have casting rumors.
Yes.
So yeah. There you go. So who's going to, is it Euron or Victarion? Who's going to be next season? They want Euron, right?
Yeah, I think it's Euron. The way it's described is like piratey, so.
I mean, is Euron actually Dario?
Has anyone heard this theory? At all? Yeah. It would work for Euron. Like, the idea is, like, I mean, Euron is playing the big game here. He's going for the dragons. It's all or nothing because he messed up militarily. If he doesn't have dragons, he's going to get whipped by the Tyrells when they get back. But so he...
love the Tyrells. Yeah.
They're powerful, yeah. Powerful. Yeah, they have more troops than the books, by the way. But, so if he is Dario, he's in a position to get the dragons. It's ultimately, he's not going to be reliant on Victarion to get him.
Wait, is this actually a theory?
That he goes back and forth.
I mean, like, I've heard... there's always been that joke that it's like Euron is Dario and Dario is Benjen and whatever. Like, I always thought they were all just jokes, so...
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why Euron would do that. Like, he would do that, right, to get the dragons.
But how does he do it? Explain the theory. How does this work?
I think he uses blood magic to get back and forth really quickly by sacrificing people. That powers the waves faster. Yeah. This is, like... I don't know if anyone else in the comments are.
Okay. So Daenerys sends Dario away, sends him to him and the, what is it, the Second Sons?
Is it the Second Sons or the...
the show, it just messes it all up with all those...
Stormcrow in the book, Second Sons in the show.
Yeah. So she sends him away, and that's when the King's Mood happens. So, blood magic apparently is used to get him to Pike
go quickly
for the King's Mood, and then after that's done... Euron goes raiding and disappears from the Iron Islands, and Dario shows up back in Meereen around that time.
Okay.
It would just be a curious way of him, like, rather than just going in by force and getting the dragon, because he's going to do something. Like, even Dany has a vision of somebody smiling with gray lips, so he's dangerous and will do something before he's dispatched. So that's just one angle he might do. I don't necessarily believe that theory.
One angle.
Yeah, one way he might do it. So.
Yeah. I honestly really thought that was along the lines of like the Benjen is Dario I
Benjen is doing it for the North. Yeah, he gets the dragons for the North. So,
they're all the same person. They're Benjen.
That was
too.
A weak theory. That's the fact.
Let's go with a classic theory. Is Benjen Coldhands?
Nope.
I think that's been pretty much dismissed because Coldhands is ancient and Benjen is not.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I think George confirmed it.
Oh, well, there we go. Just out there, just done like that.
Yeah. Everyone thought it was. When Storm of Swords came out, everyone was like, oh, is that Benjen? Like, let's see. And then we waited a long time, and no, it's not him. So
what was the new evidence that said no?
Well, I think in Dance with Dragons, somebody said, this guy's ancient. And
okay.
So, like, hundreds of years, potentially.
Well, there's time travel, too, at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, like with Benjen, though. Speaking of him, is he dead in the books? Like,
I think he'll show up in one form or another. Maybe.
I mean, I was super excited for a second when the show had that little, you know, preview clip of him. Yeah, and all it was to get Jon Snow out to the traitor sign so they could stab him. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah.
John really shouldn't have stolen that guy's watch because they're like, well, they were really mad about that.
So, Benjen, even if he isn't Coldhands, more than likely he died north of the Wall. So, if he does show up, he is a white. I mean, if he's dead, he's a white.
Dead, yeah,
he'll show up at some.
Unless he's like the Children of the Forest, or somebody deal with him, like, because even Coldhands himself is kind of dead, right?
Yeah.
So. It may still be. Although some people say like that Bloodraven and Bran are going to be on the wrong side now in the battle. So,
well, I mean, I don't trust Bloodraven.
Has one heard the Jojen paste theory? The Jojen's been like ground up into paste and they're feeding it to Bran?
Yes.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah,
quite possible.
That's so creepy.
Well, especially he's dead in the show, so like we won't get Jojen paste in the show, but it clearly means he's not going to.
They could have preserved his body, maybe. In
yeah, it is very cold.
The little children ground him up, and they are feeding him to Bran.
Because I think Bran talks about it tasting awful, and then he starts to like the taste later.
It's like the Manderly pies.
The
Frey pies. So we're north of the Wall. Let's talk about the Night's King. It's got to come up at some point here.
Yeah.
Spoiler, or just a cool story that the showrunners were like, let's expand on this a little bit, let's take a character, and let's sort of... there's the big bad, there's the others, this force of nature in the books. And in television, you kind of need like a particular bad guy oftentimes to just root against. And so did they take this story of the Night's King and develop that for the show? Or is that something Martin told them about in the future?
I think he is going to... I would be surprised if he didn't pop up later in the books, honestly. You know, as part of... like Dany has that... I can't remember if it's a dream or a vision, but where she sees herself like on the dragon, you know, fighting this army, and like all the theories I heard is that it's, you know, possibly Stannis leading this army, but now honestly, Stannis is gone. Maybe he was not ever meant to be the one that was leading the army, and it's the, you know, it's the Night's King. I think the Night's King looks stupid in the show. I think he looks like a blue Darth Maul, and I think it's...
What's wrong with that? I think that's cool.
But, like, I feel like they weren't very creative with him, with the way he looks like in that respect.
They
gave
him a crown.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that he is something that we were meant to see in the books, especially when he appeared last season and there was that slip up where HBO Go actually like mentioned him in like one of the, you know, the episode description or something. It was only on HBO Go and they took it down within a very short amount of time. I don't think they would have gone through all that trouble of like taking it down as soon as people caught on to it, if it was something they meant to do. And then, of course, it didn't even matter this season. Like, I don't know if they just announced who he was because they'd already made that slip up or what, but, I mean, I know a lot of fans who, like, latched onto that, so, from, you know, book fans who latched onto the whole Night's King slip up, so...
If it's the actual Night King from thousands of years ago, like that's a potentially big spoiler. If it's just like a title that they use, it's not. But he did seem to kind of have like this look with Jon,
okay,
and this connection. And if he was actually a Stark, then that would be really interesting.
The kind of nice bro look?
Yeah.
And I mean, Bran, in the show as well as the books, tells the story, so.
Why would the Night's King be ruling the others?
He moved up the ranks really quickly. Yeah,
well, yeah. Was he that good that they were like, "Hey, why don't you lead us? You know, you slept with one of us, so now you can well, come on."
Yeah,
but why would he be in charge?
I don't know, and we'll see if it's done that way in the books. But I do think that was probably the highlight of the season was Hardhome. I think that was an awesome episode. It was a great battle.
Hardhome was cool.
Yeah.
It was the awesome episode.
The lightning maneuver, I like to call it, when they went off the side of the mountain, was fantastic. Yeah, that was the thing. A lot of people were mad about that. They didn't want John to go up there. You have a lot of people who were like, that didn't happen. I'm like, oh, well, you know, it did happen, just John wasn't there. And apparently in the show, the others can't swim. Is that what it is? The whites can't swim, but they're in the water in the book.
Yeah.
Well, we hear dead things in the water. We don't know what those are. Mm-hmm. So that's what the report comes from there.
Yeah, because it's just stories that are being, you know, brought back to Castle Black in the book. So it's who knows if the way they're describing it is anything like what's actually happening, I guess. But I don't think it makes a difference whether or not the others can or the whites can swim. Honestly, it's probably better that they can't. I mean,
they could just go around.
Does the magic of the wall extend into the ocean?
Well, that was one of the weird theories. The ice water from the wall goes into the water there.
Water.
As well. Yeah.
It melts.
Prevents them from swimming around it. Yeah.
Magically contaminates the water surrounding the wall. Hey, you know, that might work. What else do we got?
Did we talk about Dorne? I guess we did a bit. I just want to, like, because I was,
you've got
to for years,
about
I was
waving.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, House Manuity is our special house. But, like, I was waving the banner to get Alexander Siddig on, and he finally did, and it was great. But I just wish they'd given him more to work with, because he had limited scenes, and then he ultimately failed in the end, unless you think he meant for them to kill Myrcella, which I don't think he meant it. Yeah.
Think so. If so, then I'm starting another hashtag, hashtag not my Doran. that was so they're gonna find out. Like, that whole thing with the sand snakes killing Marcella that way, it's like, I don't understand.
But she may ultimately die. Like, she's probably going to die in the books at some point because of Cersei's vision.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's another one. Like, is she going to die now? Because she... Well, did she... Is she dead in the show?
Yeah.
They didn't turn
unless
the boat
Bronn has been storing some of those
away from the dock. And,
yeah, unless they're storing that one special thing.
Vial.
She. I mean, she's definitely going to die in the books. Like that's and they showed Cersei's vision, or not. They showed that backflash the beginning of the season. So I'm actually kind of surprised Tommen is still alive at this point, but. I think he probably won't last through next season.
I kind of hope that in the books she doesn't actually die, but becomes dead to her or something, because otherwise that prophecy is just so predictable and everything's happening, and I don't like it when it's, you're destined by that prophecy if they all just die and this happens.
That's true, yeah.
Is Darkstar going to be in the show?
He is in,
Amin over here loves Darkstar because he is of the night.
I adopted him,
And he's hoping against hope he'll
like
show
the gothic
up
kid,
someday.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be. They got to cut lots of characters, and that's fine. That's what they have to do. Obviously, they have to make changes, and that's fine. And it's weak to get mad just because they make changes. It's only if they do bad changes that I get mad about it.
Yeah, same.
So I asked on the pod, on our podcast, what are some crazy theories people like? And the number one answer right now was Varys is a Merling. Has anyone heard about this theory?
I think, has anybody not heard about it?
There you go. I know. I feel like... There's this theory going around that, and we're talking about crazy theories here, that Varys is a Merling. He is a merman. And there you go. And this is the craziest thing I have ever heard. I mean, he brought this up once, and I was like, I need to look into this. So there is this. So apparently, he is... It's a big theory that revolves a lot around the moisture of his lips, I found out. there is a lot of discussion about how he has slimy and sometimes fishy lips. And
he keeps swimming all the time. Whatever he has,
it's
references.
Swimming time. When when Arya goes down, she is down beneath the Red Keep, and she comes across Ilario and Varys. They have just emerged from a well. People are like, oh, so they swam up the well. and then Tyrion goes to Varys' chamber, and he doesn't have a bed. He has a stone slab, and he makes up something like, oh yeah, I have a bad back, or he sleeps in the ocean. People think. It's crazy stuff. And then I was looking into this rumor, and the people think that he is backing Daenerys so that she will melt the wall, so that the water will rise and they'll be let, you know. And
okay,
be,
I haven't heard
less
that.
Earth. And so the Merlings can come and invade. And it's this crazy, crazy theory that on Westeros there's a whole forum on this.
Well, I honestly have not heard about the melting the wall part of that, but I mean, there are Manderlys up north, and there's also theories that they're Merlings, or that Lord Manderly is a Merling. You know, their sigil is a mer person.
The guy who came up with the theory said he likens them to carp, whereas they get older, they get bigger. And that's why Varys and Ilario are plump and large.
But don't they have superhuman fish strength?
And Manderly as well. Oh, yes, they have superhuman fish strength. And that's why they're able to, like, he's able to sneak around and not make any noise while he's walking around. Because these Merlings have super strength. Yeah. And they had to train how to walk quietly. I don't even know. Yeah. It's so crazy, this stuff. It's so much fun. It's waiting for the books has the entertainment value of people who are able to come up with theories like this. It's amazing. So.
And Littlefinger, I think, has a Merlin kingship or something.
Yes.
As well.
He has a Merlin kingship, and he's from a his house has a nautical background on the fingers. And people think there's a part in, I think it's Game of Thrones, where he mentions that he has power over Varys, or he's able to control Varys. And people think it's this, he knows things about Merlings, and so he's able to control Varys, but he doesn't tell his secret. And in response, Varys doesn't tell anybody Littlefinger's secrets.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Are there any other crazy theories that people have heard about?
Yeah, let's hear about you guys. What are some? Yes, sir.
How Aegon's the River Giant.
Okay.
That he's actually the son of Illyrio.
Yes.
I would say that's not a crazy theory. I think that's quite a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think like maybe he might be a Blackfyre still potentially, like that bloodline, but that would make sense because Illyrio and Varys did this whole thing about stealing stuff and then selling it back as a higher price. That was their game, getting rich.
Okay.
That's what they kind of might do with, like, steal the Iron Throne and sell it back with Aegon, potentially, so it would fit their MO.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, Does anybody in here actually think that Aegon is a Targaryen? Like, actual yes, full Targaryen? Really?
Here's the craziest theory. Aegon Targaryen is Aegon Targaryen. Like, oh, man, George. Oh, this is so crazy.
Well, I mean, it would, like, at this point, anything could happen. Yeah. He could have been writing him as a Blackfyre or as possibly Illyrio's son, which I do think that the Illyrio portion, him possibly being Illyrio's son, is a little bit crazier than not. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a full Targaryen. I'm on the Blackfyre side of things.
The theory is that Illyrio's wife was a Blackfyre.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. I just don't know if I believe that Illyrio is related to him.
He seems to care a lot about him. Like, yes. He seems disappointed when he doesn't show up. It doesn't mean he's related, but...
They just want the Targaryens. Yeah. Or if they're Blackfyre loyalists, then they certainly want him on the throne.
Yeah. There's a third part, was Varys a Blackfyre that's thrown in? None of these, like, individual parts have to be true. Only one of them might be true, or they might all be true, potentially.
I think I just think that would be fantastic if he was a Blackfyre. Because it's this history you have, this civil war that's been going on for so long. And to have it, and have you all read the Duncan Egg novellas and all that? All the for the red and for the black, and to have it still going on, I think would be really interesting. To see that is still lingering, that is still a thing. A Targaryen king on his deathbed goes, oh, I legitimize you, and here's my sword, and all of a sudden, hundreds of years are happening. Is it hundreds of years? How long is it? A while.
Yeah. 150.
Well, it's like 100 between Duncan Egg and the current timeline.
So I just think that would be really neat. I think that would be a lot of fun if he was a Blackfyre.
I guess in that respect, it's kind of like, how is my question is, Varys and Illyrio have all these irons in the fire, and you know, Aegon being one of them, Daenerys being another one. They're backing both of them, really. And the question is, like, what is going to happen if, you know, Daenerys and Aegon both make it to Wester? I mean, Aegon's already over there, so Daenerys makes it over there. Are they going to join together, or are they? Because I mean, if I were Daenerys, I'd be like, I'm the one with dragons, so...
Because he would have the rightful claim.
Well, they sent Aegon to Dany, that was the plan, and then Tyrion came into the mix and messed it up. So if he hadn't done that, then he would have gone there, married Dany, and then moved over with Dany together.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, he's not actually her nephew, right?
Uncle. Wait, hold on.
He's not...
Rhaegar's her brother.
Yeah,
so yeah, he would be her nephew.
Okay.
So, I mean, if he's...
They prefer the male line in the Targaryen, or just on the throne, so he would have a stronger claim, but she has dragons, so...
There we go.
Well, and I think that if he was actually Aegon Targaryen, then, like, it would be a bigger issue. Like, he came in so late, I just can't bring myself to believe that we've been following Daenerys since, like, one of the first few chapters of Game of Thrones, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, no, here's this other guy. He actually has a better claim. And he's got, you know, Targaryen blood, so he can probably ride one of your dragons. So, like, you're pretty screwed. Sorry, Dany.
I always thought it was, introducing Aegon was a way to expedite Dany's return to Westeros.
Yeah.
Where you have this character who can raise the banners for the Targaryens, and they can take care of all that while Daenerys is sort of, however she's going to get out of Meereen. I think we all think she's going to leave there.
Oh, God.
And, and so that when she does eventually arrive in Westeros, all of her loyalists, all the Targaryen loyalists, are already joined together and already ready to fight. And then Aegon will fall through some means, and Daenerys will claim what he just built.
So Dany kind of has like a vision where she sweeps aside pretenders, and I think that he's one of them, and Stannis was potentially another, that she comes and just sweeps aside all the pretenders.
Hmm.
And of course, Tommen.
Yeah, if he's still alive.
If he's still around.
Yeah.
Sir Pounce.
Yeah.
Hey, yep.
There you go.
Sir Pounce of House Whisper.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Does anybody else have any questions or theories? Or?
Well, just on the topic of crazy theories, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Potentially the son of the Night's King.
Really?
I haven't heard that.
Ooh.
I've heard things. I've heard plenty of things about Roosh Bolton being like a vampire or a shapeshifter, but I haven't heard anything about him being related to the Night's King.
I mean, you've heard all these theories.
Yeah, I have heard clearly. About one branch of it is.
Gosh, I thought I read a lot of Reddit.
This guy, what's your name, by the way? You have a good grasp of these theories too, as I just want to say. Yeah, but there's one idea that he may be working with the others or may not be. But is this the idea that he's been around for hundreds of years, this one character, and he's been like sacrificing his sons, basically? Yeah.
Which is sort of why he's keeping Ramsay around.
Yeah.
That explains.
God, I love this stuff.
No, yeah, I like this one.
Yeah. I personally don't believe it. I feel he's going to sacrifice Ramsay in the sense of just throw him out once he's got an actual son. Because he's kind of, in the fifth book, he kind of mentions, oh, like, Ramsay's going to kill my son. I can't do anything about it. But he's just bullshitting there, basically. He's going to get a new, like, useful heir and get rid of Ramsay. That's the plan, I think.
Hmm. One can only hope. Yeah.
Interesting.
And just one I thought here, Rory thoughts about
what I'm still a believer in Rhaegar and Lyanna. It just makes sense with the title, The Song of Ice and Fire, just having, it just makes so much sense, and I guess because I've been reading for so long, I'm blinded to everything else, I guess.
Whatever
it ends up being, I just hope it's what George planned all along.
Oh, right.
And we don't have him sort of going, oh, everybody found out, I got to change it at the last minute. that would be the worst if he did that. And, you know, if we all know that it's R plus L equals J or whatever, I hope he just sticks to it. So,
But this is like his magnum opus, and he's writing for generations future that won't be in our position too. Like, we're just a fraction of the people who read it, so I don't think he'll change it.
Mm. Yeah.
I would hope not. But at the same time, I don't know. If I were him and I was like, basically signed my baby over to HBO, and they were murdering it horribly.
Tell me how you
I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. At times, I actually really enjoy the show. I am joking. But no, I think that part of me would be, if I was in his shoes, part of me would be tempted to change things. But yeah, I hope he wouldn't. And I think that he's... Like you said, he's writing it for us, but he writes it for him a lot, I think, too. I mean, that's kind of why I am firmly in the, waiting for the books is frustrating, but, like, I don't mind it. Like, I understand it. I would hope that he wouldn't change anything.
So, I know somebody back there was, she's not looking at you. You were very excited. I wanted to call on you. You were.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask you what you guys thought about the
Arpa.
Oh,
okay.
There we go.
Oh, well, the reason I said that is because the person that I know that kind of referred to, like, oh, Jon Snow is dead, but Jon Targaryen isn't. I mean, if they would have to legitimize him. You know what I mean? Like, he's not Rhaegar and Lyanna. Unless there was some secret wedding, and you know, which I guess is possible, mm-hmm. because the Targaryens usually had, you know, often had more than one wife, but she wasn't a Targaryen, so it's kind of I wonder how far they would actually be willing to, like, a Septon would be willing to take it, or the populace would be like. Oh, yeah, okay. So there was a secret wedding between Rhaegar and just some chick, you know, some girl from the north, and they
some
had a kid.
Some girl from the north? She was a little bit more than some girl from the north.
Oh, I know, but, like, the general populace doesn't really, you know, she wasn't a Targaryen, so they were okay with it.
Stark's pretty big.
Yeah, but they were okay with it. What I'm saying was when the Targaryens were marrying each other.
Okay.
But not like, oh, he can have his Dornish wife and then also, like, pick up some, you know, some other highborn maiden, and that's, like, totally okay all of a sudden, simply because they were already iffy about, you know, there's already plenty of people who are complaining about, you know, that it's just not right or that it's weird or whatever, you know, that the Targaryens were marrying several of their siblings at a time. I just don't. It would be weird for me if all of a sudden it was okay for Rhaegar to have two wives from completely different families when he already had two children with his first wife.
Okay.
So yeah, it's more just
ran away and took care of.
He would have to be legitimized to be Jon Targaryen, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a theory of what happened really too. She does not feel cold. Like she's in the wall. Everybody else is like, get down.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, have you heard that one before?
Yeah, I think I think we all agree that she's wearing glamour at least, and she's potentially really old.
Yes.
And there is the idea that, like the others, but on the other side, the R'hllor side, there may be people like Melisandre, like Mokoro, that are like these undead fire people.
Yeah,
so that's
undead
possible.
Fire people.
Yeah.
Undead fire people. Yeah. I like that.
So she's just so she has been resurrected. You're saying like
yeah.
Beric Dondarrion
yeah.
and. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't. That's not one I'd ever heard before, but I don't think it's ridiculous at all, or all that crazy. I mean, like you said, I've actually heard that she's maybe a man.
That's interesting.
But I've also heard that she's
oh
possibly like a very very old woman, which is kind of what I always figured was the case. So.
So you just hope that doesn't fall down during certain activities, the glamour coming off. So.
Oh, I know Stannis would have been like, oh, you are so, oh my, what the heck is going on?
It's like
on?
The Shining.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, in the back.
But if she's dead and resurrected, it also explains why she's able to drink the poison, no problem.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. I know you can't really hear.
And also, what do you think Howling Reed has been up to all
along? Oh, the linchpin. Everything, the keystone, Howlin' Reed. He knows everything. There you go. What's he been up to, huh? Is he just hiding away? Maybe he can't keep secrets as well as Ned Stark, so
yeah.
He just locked himself in a room. Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard that one recently.
Is the High Sparrow short?
Yeah.
It's like gnarly type of looking
okay.
features, I guess, kind of like the Connacht men or something.
And I don't think in the books he is as elderly as he is in the show either.
Mm. Yeah,
I think he's sort of like nondescript, you know, maybe middle-aged, which in Westeros is like 35 in the books. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we actually going to see Howlin' Reed? Like, are we going to have a POV perspective that goes there, and then we're just going to have this giant info dump? Is that going to happen? In the book?
Isn't he the only living person with some very serious knowledge?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was at the
yeah.
Tower of Joy, so he knows the Promise Me and John, you know, our Presale Winkles J, or if that's the case. So yeah, it would seem strange. It wouldn't seem very Martin if we just got this character and he'd just be like, all right, here's everything you've been waiting to know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'll have a point of view chapter or anything, but... yeah, I mean, I feel like we'd have to run into him at some point. Although at the same time, Martin has said things like, you know, there are going to be a lot of questions that aren't answered, and you know, it's not going to be this like wrapped up, complete happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
the world will just go on. It's not like and that's it. That's beautiful. That's the world is forever better. No, it's going to be like. World continues on when the story's done.
Yeah,
I think he's having an awesome party at Greywater Watch with Ned's bones and those other people that went there. Because everything's going through that area, right? Like
and it's all getting stuck in the bog.
There's some troops over there.
Things.
Yeah.
What characters are there? Are there any characters that we know that are heading there? I think the theory is Blackfish.
Yeah.
Is that the only thing that I've heard?
Maybe.
I've heard the Blackfish.
On his way to Greywater.
Who were the two that Rob sent that just kind of disappeared?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all hanging out. In
yeah. I mean, George said that we're not going to get any new point of view characters.
Mm.
So if that were the case, those characters would have to go get them and then show up in another point of view character's story somewhere. I don't know. We'll see. So.
Now I'm wondering whose point of view would make the most sense for them to show up in. I mean, I knew that he had said that we weren't getting new point of view characters, but now I want to know who. We've got to see Howlin' Reed. So who's going to?
I don't know. Maybe after Jon Snow gets resurrected, maybe he heads down to Greywater Watch.
Oh, what Davos?
There you go.
He's on his way to Bridget.
Yeah, he's going up to what's the name of it?
Skagos.
Skagos.
Cannibal Village.
Cannibals and unicorns.
Yeah.
Careful.
That's very true. It could be a very Star Wars thing. It's like, you are the chosen one, and then, oh no, you destroyed everything. All right.
But I do think the wall has to fall by that point, which may very well happen the next book, and then anything can happen there.
Yeah. I think the only issue, I mean, I agree that that's like, the possibility is there. I think that the only issue with that is that where he is right now is kind of far away from the wall, and I'm pretty sure all of the, whenever, you know, somebody dies and becomes a white, it's happening, it's still happening north of the wall. It's not happening.
It's kind of weird because they do bring the bodies through the wall that come up, but they died north of the wall. So I think from Dance with Dragons, like, you have to right now still die north of the wall and then be brought through. The wall's doing something to block it, because John has an experiment when he puts dead bodies in the cells and tries to see if they come back, and they don't. That's when they come back.
The whites.
Are there any other questions?
Yes.
Game ball. Game ball, yeah.
The quiet.
Get hype.
So he is the grave digger, I believe, is the popular theory. He's the grave digger on the Quiet Isle. He is sort of trying to reform his ways and go with the monks out there, and change his ways around, I guess. Change it up. But I don't know. I don't want to believe. I want to believe there will be that epic battle between Robert Strong and the Hound someday. Like, I want that.
He may be the face champion, and that's the idea with the Clegane Bowl thing, that they'll bring him out.
Yeah.
Because he lost, like, his motivation to be the Hound when he heard his brother died, but if his brother comes back...
And, I mean, in the show, I think he's dead. Like, it was one of those.
We did not see that.
Exactly.
He could still survive.
I prefer to believe he's not dead. Because he's like one of my favorite characters.
Like, just to say, I really like Brienne, but she wouldn't have won that fight. Like, it's the Hound.
Oh yeah,
like, the Hound
no.
Would have. Do you think she would have? Like, the Hound is one of the most dangerous fighters in the realm.
Jamie.
Jamie respect. Oh yeah, and Brienne does an excellent job against him. Yeah, but he was also like cuffed, and he was in a jail for 4 months. Right. And Brienne in the show does seem to be a little bit more experienced than Brienne in the books. Like, she's killed people before, whereas I think she gets her first kill in the books. We see that. That's her first kill.
I think it would be awful. Yeah. It was actually awesome.
Yeah, that was a very brutal fight.
Yeah.
And interesting. It wasn't all skill in that one, because they were falling down hills and hitting rocks, so you just need a fall where the Hound hits his head and Brienne doesn't hit her head, and it just changes the turn of battle in that one. But that was a pretty epic fight. That was amazing. And Gwendolyn Christie is so adorable when she was doing the promos, and she's like, I get to bite someone's ear off.
Yeah, I don't want him to be dead in the show, but, like, even assuming that he is, like, in the books, he is the grave digger. Whether or not Clegane Bowl will actually happen, you know, that's up in the air. But, I mean, I hope that Martin has kept him alive in the books for a reason. I'm not really sure I even care what it is at this point, as long as he still has a part to play and isn't just going to hang out in the Quiet Isle for the rest of his life.
He kept him alive because a lot of fans would riot if he actually died.
Yeah. Yeah.
So else we got? Anything? Anybody else? This gentleman back here.
Yes, I'm really interested in character arcs.
Sure. Just Jamie, for example, like, everyone seems to hate him going into the series, but by the third book, as we see his point of view, I ended up liking him, and I think a lot of people, he's a fan favorite, and he starts to reform. Did he need to lose his hand to reform that way? I think he did. That really, if he didn't lose his hand, he might have gone back to the old Jamie, but losing his hand and that transformation over the series, and he's a completely different character in the fourth and fifth book. That's it.
Yeah, that's Jamie's mind too.
Theon.
You're a big Theon fan, I think.
Yes, I am. Please don't throw anything at me. I hope that he will be in some way redeemed. It's just that guy's had a tough one, but he's so unlikable that. We don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, so we hate that guy. But I don't know, he's had such a crazy arc. He's, out of everybody, it's so amazing what he's been through and what he's gone through, and I find him very captivating. And you had this Theon that you hated at the beginning, he's kicking that head around, and then the captain's daughter, and you just, this guy's despicable, and then he becomes a slave, and a lot of people can't still, you know, don't forgive him, and understandably so. But I was just reading those chapters in dance, and just in their gut, you're like, oh, what happened? Like, how is this character still, why is he still alive? And it felt so bad. And it's like, where is he going? And I love his arc. I love his arc for twisted reasons, I guess.
Do you have any idea who the hooded man is? Because it's so confusing. Like, I don't think there's any set confirmed theory. Like, the guy that he sees that pass him. Because there's a theory that it's himself. He's, like, looking into himself, and he has this alternate character. From all the pressure, psychological pressure on him, he's become a split personality.
The hooded man.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. Yeah.
Does anyone have any ideas about that? Have you heard of the hooded man?
If you look at the Great Northern with
them. I think.
He was with ladies.
Interesting.
I've heard the theory that it was like a split personality. I don't think I've heard that one, though.
That makes sense, because the Brotherhood really is kind of putting out their little spies here and there, because Tom Seven Strings is at River Run.
Yeah, with double them. Agent.
And so they could certainly be sending people around and just figuring out what's happening and figuring out their plan.
Yeah, and we knew how we had the Red Wedding and stuff. I think there's going to be a wedding with the phrase that the Brotherhood is going to hit. That seems to be an idea.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We haven't forgotten how much we hate the phrase, right?
Yeah. I think nobody even needs to mention them. It's like it's like whenever we have Frey crap, ice and fire kind of, it's like, who are we going to give this to?
I know I just mentioned Theon, and we were talking about Stannis burning his daughter, but God, we hate the phrase so much.
is it Wanda that marries Roose? There's a couple
Walda,
of interests.
Walda. Oh my God, Fat Walda's great. Walda. Don't hate on Fat Walda.
She's good. I think Rob had a squire as well that was good. So there's a couple
There's a couple good ones. Yeah. I mean, but for the most part.
Yeah. But they're going to implode. Their whole family is going to kill each other. That's it.
I remember reading a thread about people coming up with the most horrible ways that they could kill off Walder Frey. And I remember there was this one where somebody was like, I think you need to dig a hole and bury him in like this prison underground with no doors and windows. And then Lady Stoneheart would like kiss him and give her his life so that he would be forever alive in this doomed room, like buried, and people were like, that would be fair. Like, oh jeez, yeah,
people really, really
that's
hate the phrase.
Pretty awful. I'm like, that'd be horrible.
Like, even the people in Westeros all pretty much like despise the phrase. Even the people that worked with them don't like them. So no. Just saying.
So we have about 4 or 5 minutes left, so we can take a couple last ones if anybody has any questions. Yes, sir.
Apart from Dagon Manwoody.
Yes.
What's your favorite lore or like anything about like the world by fire?
Our favorite lore?
Like anything, like could be like.
Who has read The World of Ice and Fire? I don't know if anyone's read it, but I really enjoyed it.
And The World of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, getting that backstory and everything, and Targaryen history. I still don't like the Targaryens that much, but I felt like a big part of that book was trying to get you to like them, to show that they had some potential.
Oh God, there was so much Targaryen stuff in that book. Like I just wanted it to be over at the end, honestly, because it was. I mean, how much of it was Targaryen stuff? Like a quarter or a third? It was a lot. World of Ice and Fire made me actually like the Greyjoys a lot more. I thought the Greyjoy bit in it was really interesting, and I liked getting that background a lot. I mean, from the main stuff, my favorite house is House Martell. My favorite character is Sansa.
Yes. Yeah. I know we mentioned before, but all the Blackfyre stuff, I really love. All that dynamic, and I'm for the Blackfyre, so.
We had that disagreement. Yeah. I don't see why you would support like the Blackfyre. Just because the guy was good looking.
Yeah, he's good looking.
There's no reason. That doesn't mean he should be king.
He got the sword. His father knew. His father was like, "Yeah, you should be ruling the place." So
he could go model happened, for them. But he doesn't be on the throne.
I feel bad for the just Game of Thrones fans who walk around the convention here, and they have the T-shirt and they invert the colors so it's black on red. and because some t-shirt companies thought that color scheme looked better, and it's got the fire and blood, and they're like, I love House Targaryen. I'm like, they would hang you. They would destroy you for that, and it's good that you don't know, so.
I will say this, I do have a favorite crazy theory, and that's the one that, like, everybody's a fake, or everybody's a Targaryen.
A secret Targ.
Everybody's a secret Targ. Yeah. Like, Cersei and Jaime are secret Targs, you know, like, There's a pretty decent chance that Tyrion is.
Unfortunately, yes, it seems that he's probably a Targaryen.
Yeah, which I hate, but whatever, it's a thing.
Yeah, I don't like the theory either, but it seems like it
kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I want to be Tywin's son. Yeah.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. Although, book-wise, but like.
there's the idea. I don't think George is aware of it, but the idea that he is Tywin's son and like Aerys's son, like, is a chimera that's fused together, which explains his eyes being different colors. Like, actually, it could work, but I don't know if George was aware of it when he was writing the book at the time, because it was a while back.
Well, I mean, I think, like, Targaryen blood's... It's all about, like, the blood being strong, so, like, his eyes being fused could just be, like... Yeah. He has one color from each parent.
I just want Tywin to get in there somehow.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah. Poor Tywin. Nice. That was a joke. Is what?
Well, Davos is heading up there, so.
Rickon for King in the North.
I hope we see him again.
It kind of made me cry a little bit.
No, Rickon.
Anybody else, or I think we're...
There's a couple of photos we'll show at the end, too.
What's that? Oh, a couple of photos. Let's look at photos. We don't have much too much time. What do we got photos of?
This is from Ice and Fire Con.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very sophisticated slideshow.
So the top one, that's Aegon the Unworthy and his 9 mistresses.
George actually liked that photo.
And then we have an Oberyn fighting a mountain, which I think we actually had a Sandor fighting the mountain at one point, too.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, some more Targaryens, the original trilogy over there.
Love it.
Yeah. We had a board game tournament there.
So about how many people go to the con?
We're really small. Like, we had a really small location the past few years, so about 100. But next year we're moving to a bigger location, so we have room for 200 or so. So it's exciting.
Then on the podcast we have this project where you can submit a chapter of the books in MS Paint. So we're on the third book now. And we gave the book to George last year.
Yeah, at Comic-Con. I think it was 2 years ago I gave him the first book.
So we gave him the second one last year.
I've kind of stalked him, and I go to all his signings. And so he sort of knows us, and he knows the podcast. Yeah. And he goes, what's your name again? I was like, Kyle. And he writes, to Mike, George, or Armand. So I'm like, I'm Mike now.
You may or may not have had dinner with him.
There we go.
And then this last one is, every week we do like a ruling about theories and stuff, the Supreme Court of Westeros. And the shadow is like a third person can just join in. So any one of you could just join in that week and give your opinion on 3 theories.
Okay, I think I'm doing it next week.
We'll give you scheduled coming in. Yeah.
But
awesome. We'd take anybody, so.
We take it. Yeah. Very exclusive. Wow. Awesome.
And then also after, if we're potentially going for drinks afterwards, we're going to keep talking after we leave here.
There you go. Grab some drinks. There we go.
But anyway. Do we have to wrap up? Or, I mean, if they want to question. So.
Yeah, we got the sign. Do you have a question?
Somewhere. I just have one more question.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that they're probably just going to cut Victarion. There may be bits. There may be bits of his story that they put into Euron's. Like, they could, but like.
You might just go directly there, just on the ship.
Yeah.
After the King's Mood? I don't know. We'll have this.
Are they going to have the King's Mood?
You mean Yara?
Ugh.
Yeah.
I
did not know that.
I didn't know that was why. I thought what I heard was that they thought it was too close to Osha.
It was really close to Osha, but most specifically because, like, I think something like Bayon says Osha no matter what. Like,
Asha. Okay. Interesting. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Very much appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll be kind of around after, so we're not going anywhere.
Yes.
I need this water.
Good. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I know. I saw that. I was like,
oh, yeah. Let's get one more. Thanks. Let's turn this off.
I have to run, so.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I'll see you tonight.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. I was trying to talk about something
we're
working on.
Hey, how are you?
Hi. We guess we're gonna figure that out right now.
I think the Dragon's Den is like one of the closer.
Welcome back, listeners, to yet another episode. Oh shit! No, it's not even how I start the podcast.
Perfect.
I have been away for way too long. Okay, all right. Thank you.